Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Okay, so the Bible uses lots of metaphoric, illustrative, that means illustrative language, in order to help us understand our relationship with Christ and the Father, amen? And so we see many instances of that. We see the bride and the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom and we're His bride. That's simply an illustration. We see parables. Jesus taught it many times in parables. A parable is simply a earthly story with a what? A heavenly meaning, right? So He's teaching about planting seed, etc. in Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13. It's the same parable told by each of the three first gospel writers. And He's talking about seeds going into the ground and the soil, the condition of the soil and the crop coming out and all of these things. And
so He's using illustrations to communicate spiritual kingdom truth, such as was the case also
in John 10, where He uses the illustration of a shepherd and the sheep. Most of us live in the suburbs, but we've all seen, maybe out in the country as we drove as a little kid, or even recently, we see a shepherd, or we see it on TV, like in Ireland, where they have the shepherds on the hills and the sheep, and how the shepherd guides them. And so we can understand spiritual truth through these earthly illustrations. Amen. John 10 is where we're going to look, and it's going to be and you'll notice that each thing you learn from God's Word is like a snapshot of truth that helps you to see God and see life through His kingdom eyes through the Bible. All right, so we're not going to go through the whole teaching in John 10, but I want you to do that. And a lot of times what preaching is it's pointing the finger at Scripture that you can go in your private time and read. Getting together as the body of Christ, like we're doing this morning, is not an end in itself. It's designed by God to launch you into a deeper seeking and studying of God's Word. So what Jesus begins with in John 10, 1, He says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And He's talking about, He's talking about false shepherds and false sheep. Okay, and He says that anybody who tries to enter into the kingdom the wrong way is a thief and a robber. Verse 9, "I am the door." He's not a door, He is the door. It's exclusive. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Okay, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." So the only way to be saved is through Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. And then He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Now He's talking about the false shepherds and Satan himself. In contrast to the false shepherds and Satan, Jesus the Savior says, "I am come that they might have life," that is, His sheep, "and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus came to die for His sheep. In the book of John, we see many Jesus depicted as the door, as we're reading in John 10. He is the vine, John 15. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as our sister quoted there in John 14, 6. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is the unique Gospel. gospel, among the four gospels, and it depicts Jesus in all of these ways: the door, the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world, the great shepherd. And so as we move down through this teaching of Jesus being the great shepherd and the only way to God the Father and into the kingdom of Christ, we see in verse 27 through 29, Jesus gives a promise and a condition, a glorious promise and a glorious condition. First thing he says here is, quote, "My sheep," this is how we know who his sheep are, "hear my voice, and I know them,
and they follow me."
So my sheep, he's identifying who they are. They hear my voice. They follow me. I know them, and they follow me. They hear my voice. It's very important that we apprehend this first verse of this three-verse passage. It's very simple, and yet we must grasp it. Entiendo, huh? Understand? So Jesus says that he knows his sheep by two things: by those that hear his voice and those who follow him. So then he gives a promise, and that promise is conditioned upon being his true sheep who is hearing his voice and following him. Okay. Yeah, he's giving a condition for the promise that he's getting ready to give us. And here's the promise he gives to those who are his sheep. Verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life." Okay, verse 28, "and I give unto them," it's a gift from God. He gives unto them, that is, those who love him, who hear his voice and follow him, eternal life. So he gives eternal life to those who choose to be in a relationship with him, proven in that they hear his voice.
And they choose to follow him as he, the Lord, works in them both to will and to do of his good pleasure as they work out or walk out their salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13.
Okay, so he says that I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay, so he gives them the promise that they will never perish. He gives them the assurance. And it's to those people who are truly his whom he gives this promise exclusively to. All right, so once he saves us, he mandates, he requires that we engage in an intimate relationship with him all the way to the end of our lives. Okay, and then the last verse of the passage says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Okay, so I want everybody to picture this. You have three, how many people? Raise your hands if you have children or a child. Okay, so let's just give a picture here. You've got three children. You're in a grass field. You're sitting in a chair under a tree. Let's say you have three children. You're seated in a chair under a tree, and you're enjoying a beautiful summer day, and you've got one of those children who clings to your legs, to your lap, who hugs you, who squeezes you, who just wants to be close to you. Which of the three children are safe? Because you got one in the lap of the parent and the other two are running wild in the grass field among the elements. So we know the child that's clinging to the parent is safe, but the other two who are running out among the elements with the dangerous animals, they're not safe, right? One thing we do know is every one of you people there that live in Florida are absolutely crazy. Y'all live by the alligators. Well, I grew up in Louisiana, so we have the gators too, but I think you guys have crocodiles too. Yeah, y'all got those big boa constrictor snakes.
Python.
They wanna, they look like baby crocodiles.
I didn't even realize until we started talking about this how well you guys understand the danger of keeping your loved ones close, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. Absolutely.
Okay, so the picture that we're seeing here concerns staying close and intimate with the Savior after he saves you into his kingdom. So hearing the voice of the Savior, the great shepherd, and following him speaks of intimate fellowship. Jesus told us that he saved us He created us and then he saved us so that we would know him and the Father. And that's John 17:3, and that's our life verse. If anyone asks me what the most important verse in the Bible is for those who are Christians, I'd probably say John 17:3, where Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, "This is life eternal." In other words, this is the whole purpose of eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So your life in Christ and with Christ is nothing about religion, but it's everything about relationship. So Jesus wants us close to him at all times. No different than a parent wants their child, their little child, in their lap, close to them, so they can protect them. Psalm 91:1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." By a showing of hands, how many of you want to stay close to Jesus? So those who stay close to Jesus, who perpetually, who presently and continually, perpetually hear his voice and follow him, they are promised to be protected and never be removed. So when Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish and no man can pluck them out of my hand," he's given that
promise, that assurance,
to those who are staying close to him. So Jesus is speaking here in terms that we can all understand. In other words, what if you were engaged to somebody and during that engagement period leading up to the wedding, they didn't stay close to you? Would you still marry them?
Of course not.
So you got to be careful, because this is a perfect example of how some people will teach verse 28 and 29, but they won't even mention the condition for that promise in verse 27. So hearing the voice of Jesus, the great shepherd, has been made very straightforward and simple for us because he gave us his voice, his words, the voice of his words in the canon of Holy Scripture, the Bible. The Bible records his voice. The Bible says in Psalm 119 that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119:105. So the scriptures teach us here and elsewhere throughout God's word that Jesus is only going to save those who stay close to him.
Those who endure to the end. Matthew 24, verse 13.
Jesus tells those whom he saves that they must endure to the end of their life to be saved into glory. Beware of anybody who teaches eternal security. That's called also unconditional eternal security, but Jesus gave us the condition to hear his voice, to stay close to him and follow him.
To abide, to continue, to remain in him, or be cast into the fire. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Remember, when he was coming to the end of his life on earth, the apostle Paul said he has fought a good fight. He has finished his course. He has kept the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. You must, after being born again, fight the good fight of faith. You must finish your course. You must keep the faith all the way till you're in eternal glory with Jesus Christ and the heavenly Father and the saints of all ages.
Those who are presently listening to and hearing the voice of Jesus, they are a promise to be with Jesus in eternal glory. The blessings of God, including salvation, always have conditions. You must meet the condition that God gives in order to get the blessing. God is speaking to his people, his sheep, in this late last hour to hear his voice and follow him. In the book of Revelation, he says to each of the seven churches, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh." So then he says, "To him that overcometh," you got to hear his voice, follow him, and be blessed with his power to overcome, "will I give to eat of the tree of life." So Jesus promises that only those who overcome are going to be with him in eternity. The only ones who will overcome are those who hear his voice and follow him
to the end of their lives on earth.
The promise of being kept to the end and into eternal glory is only to those who hear his voice and follow him all the way to the end of their life. Jesus wants all of his children to love him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and yet he leaves that choice up to you. It's important to pray and ask the Lord to help us to love him more. Amen. And I think that's what we can pray right now as we close. Okay, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, please help us to love you more. Please unite our hearts to fear thy name. Set us apart, Lord, in your holiness. Lord, we love you and we thank you for sending your only begotten Son to save us into your kingdom. Now, multiply your grace to us, your divine enablement, that we might endure all the way to the end into your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, Father, may your hand be upon each precious sheep of yours here today. In el nomine de Jesucristo. We love you guys.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.